got married, and you're still holding hands. Congratulations. Nice to see you again. Smiles, too. Oh, to be young and in love again, huh, Barb? Of course, you got it with Mike. Say, when I was in third grade, my grandmother, my parents caught my older brother and my younger brother smoking. Now, my younger brother's 2.5 years, so he must have just graduated from kindergarten. When you think about it, and they sat us down on the couch and waved their fingers in front of us, and Mom was in back crying, and Dad was saying, terrible, terrible, you're going to kill yourself, you're going to kill other people around you with their smoke, you're going to hurt, you know, this is just not the way to go. And he said, I ought to make you smoke these big green cigars so you get good and sick. Well, we kind of smiled at each other because the day before we were smoking big green cigars. Long story short, after we got the... Oh, they made us get all the cigarettes we had hidden in the house and put them on the table. 7.5 cartons. My grandmother had taken a shine to me out of all the grandkids she had. She took me under her wing personally, and when she found out that I got caught smoking, she took me aside and said, Jimmy, 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 what are you doing this for? Why are you hurting yourself? Why are you staining yourself? Why are you doing this? This is terrible. This is bad. This is no good. You're going to just kill yourself. And on she got more and more hysterical. And finally I says, but Grandma, I'm only human. She says, you're only human. You're only human. Don't you know you were born just a little lower than the angels? Don't you know that you're special in the eyes of God? Don't you know that he's got great plans for you? I don't want to ever hear you say you're only human anymore. So I've never said it. And then she took me. She was as white as she was tall. Wrapped her arms around me and cried, and I was crying. Finally, I came up for air. The reason I tell you that is because you are born just a little lower than the angels. You are special. You're going to hear in the lessons today that you are children of God, co-heirs with Jesus. And we've got to be reminded that our view and our sight of who we are and what we are in the world today is a lot bigger than our mindset. Because we think we're small and we think we can't do anything and we think that we're weak and we're hurting and we're not strong. But we are heirs of God, co-heirs of the kingdom. We are watched out and promised God's strength and hope and joy and love. And we should be claiming that. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, where we celebrate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so watch all the notes in our music and in our prayers and as we gather at God's altar for this message that we are heirs of the kingdom, okay? A couple of announcements. Next Saturday, we're having an outdoor service down by our memory garden, so I'd like to invite you to join us for that. The praise team will lead us in the music, so that's at 5 o'clock on Saturday. I'd like to make sure and highlight and invite you to make sure and sign up for pictures. Pictures are being taken the 28th, 29th, and 30th of June. Those of you who live up here are pictured. Our phone directories, you have 218 area codes, 320 area codes. We've got people from McGrath and Waukon and Isle and Aiken addresses. So our phone system is all crazy. If you get a picture taken, you get a free directory. If you're not able to get your picture taken during those days, you can submit a picture, okay? Anyway, all the information is on the back of your bulletins, but we need you to get your picture taken, so make sure and sign up. The third thing is we're running Vacation Bible School the 18th through the 22nd of June. There are a couple of bulletin boards with items that Vacation Bible School staff needs. And if you'd like to help out with any of that, it helps cut the expenses. So take a look at the boards. And if you got some time, Smokey, I'm looking for an assistant. I'm playing Daniel in the lion's den, I think. I need a roaring lion. something like that. No, I need a jailer or something. So if any of you are free, there's lots of things that we can do. We have, for those of you who are visiting, we have as many adults as we do kids. We have 50 or 60 kids, and we have 50 or 60 adults, and it's a real event. Oh, you're retired now, aren't you, Craig? Are you all done?
Yeah.
Still got the strains? Yeah, okay. Anyway, if you can help out, sure appreciate that. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your presence in our lives. We are thankful for the reminder today that we are your children. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are promised many, many, many things, and we just have to remind ourselves to tap into your power and your strength and your wisdom. So as we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow sojourners here on earth, we pray that we might join hands together and support one another. So send your spirit this morning, Lord, that our hearts might be moved in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the choir to lead us in worship.
Supplies, strength unknown.
Thank you, choir. The congregation, please rise. Let's join in singing our opening hymn. It's 413. 413. Turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are
in act of sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our neighbor, O heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us join in the prayer of the day. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal, three in one, and we praise your power, majestic, one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 8. In describing the new life of faith, Paul refers to all three persons in the Trinity. The Spirit leads us to recognize that we are children of God the Father, and sisters and brothers with Christ the Son. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Let's now read responsively from the 29th Psalm, where you find the bold R insert the refrain, Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us begin. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like calf, and Mount Hermon like young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Trinity Sunday. It's found in the third chapter of St. John, beginning with the first verse. Jesus' miracles prompt Nicodemus to visit him in secrecy. Jesus tells him about being born of the Spirit and about the Son who has been sent by God to save. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. And what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know. And testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, Beautiful Savior. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we were doing mission work in Southeast Asia, there was a member of our congregation that whose hobby was to collect fish. And so he had a special room in his house that was filled with aquariums, one on top of the other, probably four high, and all four walls except the entryway. And there was one fish in there that caught my eye. It was a little shark. It was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 inches long. And that shark, if you've ever seen a shark, they move differently than any other fish you'd ever had. But he said the interesting thing about that shark is they will never grow. They will mature, fully mature, in the size of the aquarium for which they're placed. And he said if you take this shark and let him free in the ocean, he'd grow to 8 feet long. I thought, wow. I had a high school science teacher, Mr. Bakken. Mr. Bakken liked doing experiments that would engage the students. He found a walleye once, put him in an aquarium, and then every day he would feed him minnows. And I got to watch these walleyes, how they haunted and snuck up and smacked those minnows, you know. So he did this for about 2 weeks, and then he took a pane of glass, put the pane of glass in that, put the minnow on one side and the walleye on the other. And that walleye, bang, hit that pane of glass. That happened for about 2 weeks. And then he pretty much gave up trying to get that little minnow. And then he pulled the pane of glass out. That walleye never went after that minnow again. It had been trained not to go for the minnow. That minnow would swim right up to the walleye and bang him between the eyes and he wouldn't get him. And I thought, wow, that, you know, the walleye would starve to death, Mr. Bakken said, before he would go for that minnow, because he's been trained that way. One last fish story. A professor in seminary had his doctorate in psychology. He told the story of when he was a boy, grew up in a poor family, but his father allowed him a pet, and the pet he had was a goldfish. The son was sent up to Grandma and Grandpa's at the lake for the summer, and the father said, I don't have time to take care of your fish. You take your own goldfish. So he carried it all the way up to the lake, Grandma's and Grandpa's. He spent enough time on the lake to know that, and saw the fish out there, and he says, you know, this is not fair to have this poor little goldfish in my bowl. So one day he took that goldfish and poured it into the lake and said, go. That fish just stayed right there. He thought maybe it was his shadow on there, so he walked to the end of the dock and just watched, but that goldfish didn't move. So then he thought, well, maybe if I just go away, so he went in for lunch and came back. That goldfish stayed within the circumference of that bowl that he had grown up in. And as he was watching, after lunch, a big bass came up and smacked it. That was the end of the goldfish. But in this psychology, this doctor said, professor said, once it has lived in a circumference of a certain size, it's been conditioned to think small, it will stay small until it dies, swimming in small circles. Now, to me, that's fascinating. Psychological conditioning can be powerful stuff, if you can call it that when you're speaking of sharks and walleyes and goldfish. So what does that have to do with our lesson? I mean, Paul is talking to the Romans in that first lesson that Phil read. And he's writing to believers in the gospel, and he's telling them that they don't have to give in to fear-induced limitations in their times of living anymore. They no longer need to be enslaved by petty thoughts or by meaningless dreams. They are children of God. They are heirs with Christ. Christ has come so that they can be free. You don't have to swim within the confines of your own fishbowl. The Holy Spirit has come to take the chains from their hearts and from their minds so that they can soar as if as they've never soared before. We don't have to be limited by what we were raised with. What we've grown to know. This is the Father's will for us, Paul says to them. That we live in faith. We can do anything in faith. We don't have to live in fear anymore. Listen to Paul's words. He says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Abba is the local language. I forget right now, but it means daddy. Daddy, you can call him daddy, father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're God's children, then we're his heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in the sufferings in order that we might share in his glory. So what Paul is saying here is that some of us, those Romans and some of us in this room this morning, are letting our circumstances and not our faith dictate how we feel about life. We're letting our fears and our doubts enslave us to keep us from living full, abundant, joy-filled, hope-filled lives. God's purpose is that we might not give in to our circumstances, but that we might overcome those things that wrap us up and tie us down, so that we can break loose from these bonds that keep us from being all that God created us to be. It's really sad to see someone who's been broken by life. Some people have bumped into so many obstacles in their lives that they quit trying. Life becomes so painful that they build a fence around themselves and don't want to venture out and don't want to use their gifts and talents and don't want to try anything new because they've been beaten up so bad. They've been conditioned to accept the limitations that might exist only in their own minds. Many people today are without jobs. They're learning how cruel the world can be. If you don't have the right connections, if you don't have an income, if you don't have a way of making your mortgage payment, if you don't have, if you're not able to provide for your basic family's needs. So we get wrapped up and we can't do anything and we give up. Other people have had their hearts broken so many times in relationships that they've concluded that they're unworthy to be loved. They're not unlovable. It's sad to see anyone who's been broken by life, who's enslaved by negative emotions, who's tied up, given up their spirits to live in a spirit of fear and self-hate, self-loathing. That's one of the reasons why Christ came. So we didn't have to live life tied up. Don't do this, don't do that. You can't be this, you can't be that. Jesus came to give us hope. He came to give us a sense of well-being. You're okay. You're special. You're loved. You have all the gifts that God has. Me too. But we don't tap into that power. I love working down at the veggie stand on Saturdays. It opens the last Saturday of the month of this month. Last year there was people come from the campgrounds and from the cabins, and many of you have joined it. And we've got all kinds of breads and cakes and cookies and vegetables and jams and jellies and maple syrup, and it's all free will offering. Last year, and we try and be as hospitable, as welcoming as we can. All the money's raised is used for local help each other down the road of life, you know. And that's the attitude. So we have fun, and we enjoy it, and people enjoy coming. Well, there was a gal came who was probably 50, 52 like that. And she kept going over to this table where there are all these bakery-type items. And then she'd walk away and go to the veggies and poke around here and ask about the corn. And then she'd go back to this one spot. She did that three times, and I was sitting there having a cup of coffee and conversation. Something clicked in here. I says, I got to find out what this gal is thinking. So I wandered over and says, what are you looking at? She says, I'm looking at those bars there. And there were four brownies on a round paper plate, huh? And these brownies were about 2 or 3 inches high. Must have been triple chocolate. And then there must have been an inch of icing on top. I mean, they were to die for. I mean, oh, they look good. She says, I'm looking at those brownies. She says, but I can't have them. I can't have them. Finally, something clicked in here, and I says, you know what? Life's too short to deny, 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 deny. We say we can't do this. We can't have this. We can't, you know, don't put salt on. Don't put sugar on. Don't eat this. Don't drink that. Don't do this. Don't do. I said, we live in don't. I said, here, you take them and you enjoy them today. You have permission. I'm the pastor of this church. You have permission. This is free will. Don't even put anything on. Take them. She says, really? I says, really? You enjoy them. These are a blessing to you. You enjoy them. She says, really? And it was like a big load just dropped off. Oh, okay. Thank you, mister. And she went back to the car. Now, afterwards, I start thinking, now, did she sit down and eat all four of them at once? Does she have diabetes? I mean, I know we do. There's certain laws we have to live within. And there's certain things we do that are healthy and good and all the rest. But we live in such a spirit of self-denial and can't do this and can't do that. And we forget we're children of God. We're co-heirs with Jesus. We are blessed. We're supposed to live life abundantly and find joy. But we tie ourselves up and we tie ourselves up and we tie ourselves up until we say, no, 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 no. Some days I give people free fishing out on the lake. Today is one of those days. If you guys go fishing, no limits, no slot limits. It's all yours. They catch you. Tell them to come and see me. I'll just say it. I told them they could catch as many as they want, you know. But we live in all these laws. And Jesus says no. And God says no. And Paul says no. You're my children. You're special. You are heirs of the kingdom. You're heirs of the kingdom. Paul reminds us today who we are. That's the good thing about this, huh? You and I are God's children, and I hope you understand what that means. We have an innate dignity in the kingdom of God. We have a reason for being that should allow us to live with our heads held high, knowing that we are loved, and we are okay, and we are special. It's a sad thing when a person loses sight of what who he or she is. Huh? Steve Jobs died last year. I was reading his obituary and what people were writing about him. One thing caught my attention. One of the reasons it was suggested that he succeeded so well with Apple Computer was he was adopted. Did you know that? And his adoptive parents, he was feeling pretty bad about that, like he was rejected by the world and rejected by so many people, especially by his flesh and blood. His adoptive parents told him that he was so special and so important and so meaningful in their lives that out of all the children in the world, they picked him and he was special. And this writer thought that that was why Job succeeded, because he knew he was chosen out of all the rest of the people in the world. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, has the same idea. He's telling those people who belong to the Roman world, he's writing to the Romans, if you were a Roman, you were a specially selected part of their kingdom. You could take on the family name. You would inherit all the money. To be adopted was considered a great privilege. And so that's what Paul is saying, that we are God's adopted children. We are special. We have a special name, God's child. We have been specially selected. So don't ever get to the point you get down on yourself. Don't ever get to the point where you give up no matter how much you hurt and how much pain you're experiencing in a certain point of your life, because you are special. And God loves you. And he's created you like he's created no one in the history of the world with the same thoughts, same creativity. God's will for you is to overcome all of these circumstances, whatever they might be, that the world throws your way. And he wants you to trust in his love. And so maybe we have to shift our thinking a little bit about living in our own little fishbowls. The Spirit, Paul says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And today I can say daughtership. I'll coin a new word. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So take the chains off your brains. Take the chains off your hearts. Don't tie yourself up so much that you can't be free. You're free to be everything that God wants you to be. I was watching all these caterpillars out here this week. And I thought, you know, unfortunately, we're a lot like those caterpillars who watch the butterfly fly by and say, "You'll never get me in one of those things." God has a better dream for us than we can imagine. We've got to shed our cocoons. You and I have to shed our cocoons. And then if we do, maybe even then we can fly. So maybe the thing I'd like you to think about this week is, are you ready to fly? Are you ready to fly? Nothing's impossible for the sons and daughters of God. That's the message. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Also, there is our blessing box is out. This microphone that I'm wearing has been flashing on and off. And I think we need a new microphone. So the blessing box is used for, if you've been blessed, if God has taken care of you, you want to make an extra special gift to Him. That's what that is for. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish the whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know what we care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With reverence for the earth, those in need, the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Deepen the worship life of the church and send us with fervent joy to testify to what we have seen and heard in our holy assemblies. Let us pray. Raise up leaders in this and every land who will speak out on behalf of those who are poor and oppressed. Let us pray. Awaken in us a profound commitment to care for the earth, that your glory may be revealed in lakes and rivers, mountains and valleys, plants and animals. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Teach us to call you Abba, as we entrust to you all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those who are close to us, those who we name in our hearts before you. Let us pray. Pour out your blessing on all those celebrating graduations, marriages, and other transitions during this season. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for calling us into your kingdom, for sending your Spirit into our hearts to remind us that we are especially developed and grown by you, especially loved by you. We pray, O Lord, that we might not be bound by our consciences, by our limitations, but expand our hearts and expand our minds and expand our love, that we might be more like your Son. We ask that you might watch over our families, wherever they might be this day. Send your holy angels to keep them in your care. We give thanks for all your holy ones baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity. May all born anew in the waters of grace eagerly respond to your call to serve. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, and was
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at God's holy table. We are reminded that we are His children, loved, cared for, given gifts and talents to be used to help each other down the road of life. And so Jesus, at His Last Supper, wanted to give us something that we would carry with us through the rest of the time there is in the world. And He took bread, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you for strength and courage. Do this in remembrance of Me." After supper, He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sins, for new beginnings. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts at this table is for everyone, so all are invited to come forward. This morning we will commune by intinction, so I'll hand you the bread. You may dip it into either the wine or the grape juice. We'll begin with this side, and then we'll follow with this side. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us join in the prayer of after communion on page 6. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 824. Let's sing the first and last verse.